Hi, I'm Daryl Cagle, and this is the CagleCast, where we're all about political cartoons. And today we're talking to Arcadio Esquivel and Taylor Jones, two great cartoonists who have drawn a lot of cartoons about Venezuela and Nicolas Maduro. And it looks like Trump is just about ready to invade Venezuela. So we have all kinds of great cartoons about evil Maduro and Trump just about to crush Venezuela. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Daryl.
Thank you.
Taylor, here is a wonderful Maduro Humpty Dumpty. That looks great. He's getting cracked. You've really got Maduro down.
I've been caricaturing him for a long time. He's a lot of fun to do, and he looks both sinister and like a buffoon at the same time.
He does. I guess he is fun. Here he is leading his minions, Chavism or death.
It does kind of represent the criminal side of the Maduro regime.
Why is he on a tricycle?
Because he's an idiot.
All right. Here you have hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil, Maduro. With the bullets flying and the Molotov cocktail.
Right,
you know, he puts up with a lot and then his way through everybody.
Pretty much. And he's also, and I think Arcadio might agree, he's sort of oblivious to all around him in terms of going on politics and the hatred for him. He just remains sort of doesn't pay any attention to it.
You might say that about Trump.
That's why they get along.
He says, but I am a man of peace.
Well, that's the point. His regime has been unable to deliver basic services that Venezuelans.
Okay. And we'll look at a few of yours, Arcadio. Arcadio is an award-winning political cartoonist in Costa Rica. He teaches caricature at the University of Costa Rica and produces the educational TV show El Mundo de Arcadio on Channel 13 there. And he teaches art and drawing on TV. His cartoons appear in lots of newspapers through Cagle Cartoons. Nice to have you here, Arcadio.
Thanks. Thanks, Daryl.
Let me also introduce Arcadio's translator, Karen, who you may hear on here. This is a very nice one.
Well, that's nicely done.
Well, the situation in between Venezuela and the United States, it's so critical that it's reaching to a point that it's going to explode everything.
I know it might sound silly, but I love the way you've got the sand here. You've really made an excellent point here. I think this sums up Maduro's option as well as the last cartoon.
Yes, you're right. The Maduro is a very easy person to caricature, to make a caricature from him.
Well, this is a very nice one. Who knows where Venezuela is going or gone?
Let's say Maduro is gone a month from now. This doesn't solve Venezuela's problems.
He's driven half the people out of the country.
Right, but tell me what you think about that in terms of what Venezuela will have to do to make itself right.
Good luck, Karen.
No, it's okay. First of all, let me just say what Arcadio means with the caricature, and then I'll translate the question that you asked him. This caricature, it represents a void in Venezuela, which is very disturbing because this was made 10 years ago. So that this hasn't changed a lot, says this is very concerning. And all his stuff needs to go, like all of them. And democracy needs to be reinstated.
Here is your nice portrait of the new Nobel Prize winner. Tell us about this one.
This is the two portraits of a man who is very bad man and a woman who is very woman in Venezuela.
The news we get here about Maria Corina Machado is mostly that she says, it's really Trump who won this Nobel Prize. I dedicate it to him.
Yeah.
What you going to say?
She might be thinking of a future where she or her party are in charge and they're going to be relying heavily on Trump for support.
She's wise to know which butts to kiss.
That's right. I love your Maduro here. Great mustache, great bags under the eyes.
Thank you, Taylor. He can see and sleep. Because he's very in trouble now.
The fact that Maria won the Nobel Prize is a huge, huge punch to the gut for Maduro because pressures him a lot.
I don't think of pressure as having much effect on him.
Yeah, I think pressure should be higher. That's why everything that the United States is doing is great because the pressure is getting higher for him.
I think Daryl made a good point because to just watch Maduro, to look at him, he looks kind of an immovable object that you can push and push and he just doesn't go anywhere. And that seems to be his way of survival all these years.
At least gives us a lot of material for us cartoonists and especially Latin American cartoonists because he's an idiot. So it's very fun to make fun of him.
I thought this was a nice one.
Yes, very nice.
Starting to do animated cartoons and I think this one would work very well as an animated cartoon.
Yes, you're right, Darryl. It's difficult to have animation for me.
It's a controversial subject, Daryl, as you know.
About animation, yeah. The cartoonists love it or hate it. They want us to support the animators that are losing their jobs.
You've tried a few animations of mine. The thing is that, one thing, I think even in a cartoon like Arcadio's here, which has no text, it's meant to be read. And that's where I think in some ways the animations don't aren't you making it yet? Maybe they will, but I'm not seeing that yet.
Taylor, I have an animation of yours that I can show here.
All right. Go ahead, sure.
Release the files! Release the files!
I didn't mean to show that twice.
Very good.
I thought that was good.
Now, again, Daryl, I think there are some cartoonists who have not allowed you to do it, at least not yet. Is that correct? There's some.
Haven't asked anybody that said no, but I didn't ask anybody that I thought would say no.
Oh, okay.
Here's your Pam Bond.
Nothing to see here.
That was your Epstein Files cartoon. I thought that was hilarious.
Taylor, how you do that?
I didn't. We did it with using Grok, the AI program Grok.
It's pretty easy. Yeah, this one would be a great one for that. You should think about it, Arcadio. We would do that with you. All right, here, Mission Possible.
Yeah, he really enjoyed making that caricature. Actually, he was about to see Mission Impossible with his son at the cinemas, and he thought it would be a good idea to make this caricature where Maduro's tongue is like almost ending, running out of time in a very Mission Impossible way.
He's ready to blow. This is a very nice one, too. This would also make a good animated cartoon.
Ah, yes, you're right. That's difficult. Yeah, sure. Taylor, how many cartoons about Maduro do you do these years?
Oh, this year, believe it or not, I haven't done one, but over the past number, in the past, I've done at least about 15 or 20.
It's very frustrating here in America for all the cartoons about anything that happens outside of our borders. They just don't get into newspapers. We've got all these wonderful international editorial cartoonists who don't get reprinted just because they're outside of the borders. It's very frustrating.
I post cartoons of mine on my Facebook page. Whenever I post an international one, interest just drops off. I'll get 7 likes. Nobody cares. It's really unfortunate, but that's the way it is.
It's very frustrating. Arcadio, you were saying something?
Yes.
Sure. Very quick. First of all, to answer your question about how many cartoons has Taylor done, it has been a lot of 50 or 20 caricatures about Maduro. Terrell, what do you think would be the reason for the cartoon in the U.S. to be not receiving a lot of views or likes?
I don't think cartoons cross borders. We notice the same thing in newspapers outside of the USA, that they don't want to reprint American cartoonists. It's very frustrating. So everybody's throwing rocks at Maduro, and he's not going to last long.
It just represents how much everyone hates him now.
Right. Yeah.
I'm going to go through some cartoons by other cartoonists. This is by Cap from Spain, from Barcelona. And I thought this was a very nice one.
Yes, I know him. I met him in Spain 90 years ago.
90 years ago. Very good. This one is by Osmani Simanca from Brazil and earlier from Cuba. And I think he's just great.
Yeah, this is a very, very good cartoon. This case.
Well, and by the way, Daryl, he's made Trump a new world monkey because they have prehensile tails.
Oh.
Old world monkeys do not.
Very good. I love Simanca. This is Rema Soprani, and she is an exile from Venezuela. She was threatened by government thugs and fired from her newspaper job, and she is now drawing cartoons criticizing Venezuela from Florida, living in exile, given asylum here, and that is wonderful to see her here. I appreciate that.
It's also a Humpty Dumpty image.
It's another Humpty Dumpty, Taylor.
That this is a very dark image because it represents a lot of what Maduro is doing to the country.
He's got a whip.
Yeah.
This one is by Rainer Hochfeld from Germany, who died recently, and we miss him. He always made me laugh. He was our only communist cartoonist.
Well, it's very interesting because he was an European artist, but he had a very Latin American vision. So it's really interesting how he managed the subjects.
Rainer was great, and we miss him. So, Arcadio, here you are again. Maduro the day before yesterday, wow. Today, and tomorrow.
That's terrific, Arcadio.
Well, he's falling apart. This very powerful image is falling apart.
Very Monty Python.
That's true, Daryl. Good point. Arcadio, this is one of those cartoons that I wish I had thought of. It's just great.
Okay, thank you.
And this one is by Schott in the Netherlands. And he's another one that I really admire for being so simple and bold.
Daryl, I also think this cartoon is a reflection of how Trump is the focus of everything. He certainly tries to make himself the focus of everything.
What Argue wants to know is how do the most famous cartoonists in the U.S. see them subject? Because sometimes he thinks that not a lot of U.S.-based cartoonists do a lot of cartoons about him.
That is true. But that's because of supply and demand.
One of the if I can weigh in here, because I have drawn a lot of Latin American leaders, not in recent years, but over my career. And I can tell you, this may seem a strange compliment, but I'll tell you, Latin America, there's some great faces in politics, just great faces, and so much fun to draw. And so it's great. It's never ending for me.
He did not want to use his image of Maduro, but at the end of the day, he's very bloodthirsty. At the end of the day, he did not have a lot of choice, so he decided to post and create this drawing of Maduro.
Of course, this is very difficult for newspapers in America, too, when these bloody cartoons that the international cartoonists like to draw, they just don't want blood in America. They want no bodily fluids. They don't like blood. They don't like pee. They don't like spit. They don't like throwing up. They just don't like any bodily fluids at all. They don't even like sweat.
That's half of my cartoons. Daryl.
That's really what cartoonists want to draw most. And it's very frustrating.
Fabio, question. Could you go to Venezuela at this point without the government having minders follow you, concerned of who you might speak to, who you might see? Would you be at risk going there?
I don't believe so. I don't.
There is no way that he could go. It's very risky. It's very dangerous. And he, thanks to Daryl Cagle, his cartoons are widely known. No, this could expose him.
There's a lot of countries I don't think I could go to now. I certainly couldn't go to Iran or Russia. I kind of think I shouldn't go to China. That history of kidnapping businessmen just to make points, and they'd have a good reason to kidnap me. I think that's true of a lot of editorial cartoonists. A lot of places in the world you cannot go.
Nice. Daryl, Taylor.
It's very concerning because the youth is not that well informed. Sometimes they don't understand the caricatures and cartoons you are making. He can see it in his class, for instance. Yeah, it's very concerning that the youth is not that well informed nowadays.
Boy, that is true. I see that in my email. The main email I get is, "Dear Mr. Cagle, explain the cartoon to me. My paper is due tomorrow." I think this one is nice. This one's by Bart van Leeuwen, also from the Netherlands. It makes me laugh.
I love this cartoon.
What do you think about this image? Because this is a very different style from what you have in your website. So how do you conceive this image?
We get complaints about Bart from other cartoonists that he's making his cartoons with AI. We've had him since before you could do anything with cartoons in AI. Stuff looked like this then. And now he is using AI, but he's doing the faces by hand in Photoshop, and he's doing mostly the backgrounds in AI.
That makes sense. First of all, obviously, he's kind of an animator from the way he draws. But you can, for instance, the reboot there. That's very sophisticated. That looks AI to me.
Those are two rules for us, no AI and no photography. But for Bart, since his stuff looks so much like it did, and I can tell some of his cartoons did the faces, but the AI is all the background.
Okay. First, I'm going to translate what you said, guys, to Arkady, and then I'm going to translate the question to you. And the question for you guys, that what's going to happen in time when they have more force? What's going to happen to the political cartoon? Because at the end of it's going to happen if a lot of images are generated this way.
Can I answer that?
Sure, answer that, Taylor.
First, I'm going to answer it in Spanish, which you could edit Soy Viejo. Thank God I'm old.
Me too.
This is something I think about for all the younger cartoonists out there. I'm in my 70s, and I don't know, Daryl. This is where you step in and explain.
Daryl, what do you think, what will happen in the future with the AI?
I don't think people want to hear opinions from AI. The question for us is only for cartoons that people write, is it okay for them to use AI to do the art? And I'm not at a point where I want that yet, although we have kind of made a little bit of an exception for Bart here. Also, I don't like the look of AI, but now we're playing with it for animated cartoons. And I think when it's working off of my style for my animating my cartoons, I often like it. We'll just have to see how it goes. And I understand that some artists are very angry about it and insist that we have a boycott of AI to support the animators that are losing their jobs. And I appreciate that, but I'm going to do what I want.
Daryl, I got some criticism from posting that Grok animation of that cartoon of me and boxing a friend. I'd wanted to do that before I tried even putting a political one on there that you and I had done. Can I say something about this the particular cartoon by Bart? It's a wonderful drawing there, but I think in a way, it doesn't matter, I'm just being a critic here. I think Pirates of the Caribbean, he could have come up with a better title because there's nothing pirate about it.
I think usually when cartoonists put in titles like this, the cartoon's always better without the title.
I've been guilty of that myself sometimes, but yeah, I see it here.
He's going to present this to his students at the university. So he wants you to tell them how important this is that the cartoons stay human-made and not AI, and they need to remain pure. So if you could give a little bit of more insight to that, it would be great.
Well, this one is not pure. This one, I think all but the faces was done with AI, and we're syndicating it, and it gets reprinted. I think we're past pure, but we just have to decide case by case and see how it goes. I like the animation that AI does to my cartoons, and so far the problem with that is that we just need to find a market for it, and I think we may be finding a market now. And so we may do that. And I understand why that makes many artists angry.
What about this? And this is something I've noticed about the little quick AI animations that show up, for instance, in my feed on whether it's Facebook or Instagram, where often with photography done very cleverly, for instance, a common trio of people, these little short videos are Trump, Putin, and Kim Jong-un. And the thing is that they're great. They're almost spooky. Because they're so real, they're portrayed as like little toddlers. And the thing is that after you watch a few of them, it's like they're boring and you don't care anymore. And how do you, especially in a world where the attention span keeps getting shorter, how are you thinking of addressing that with animating our cartoons?
Are memes paying the price of AI right now?
We're getting very little interest from the internet to pay for cartoons now. They haven't developed a culture of paying for content. Mm-hmm. And that is very frustrating, but I'm hoping that that will change soon. We've got some prospects we're working on, which is why we're interested in the animated cartoons now, which are only good for the internet. And it makes sense that newspapers and print clients, who are the only clients who we find pay for cartoons, would not have been interested in them yet.
This cartoon is amazing because it's a very hard to draw those incredible missiles now, especially the scenario. Are you saying in English? A very, very difficult cartoon.
This is what he sees in Venezuela. This encapsulates everything that he sees in Venezuela, all the dictatorship.
My suggestion for you on this cartoon would be to not use a computer font, to hand letter everything. One problem I notice is that cartoonists who use fonts, especially in word balloons, their cartoons get reprinted less. And I think that's because editors perceive that to be as something anybody can do, and it just makes it less of a hand-drawn thing. It's more of the AI argument, you know, more of it that looks like it's done by a computer, it becomes less valuable.
Daryl, that you mentioned that because when I started doing more regular political cartooning, I felt that kind of a silly thing, but I felt my lettering really wasn't good enough because I admire the great masters of cartoon lettering, but whether it's in strips or comic books or editorial cartoons. And I remember you telling me exactly that. And I told you that I don't feel I'm quite there yet, but I did. And 98% of my time, it has hand lettering, but there's once in a while where I feel that I just haven't lettered something well enough and I'll change it to a font. Well, I guess,
you know, Taylor, I've had conversations with cartoonists that think their lettering is terrible, and they just love using the computer fonts because it gets them away from their hand lettering that makes them cringe. Yeah. And that's just wrong. Editors don't see it that way.
They
don't mind the lousy hand lettering. It's just an expression of the real person's hand that's creating this. And as long as it's legible and the idea of the cartoon is good, any kind of hand lettering is better than computer lettering. Here's another one from Rayma Suprani, the Venezuelan cartoonist in Florida. She makes it very clear how she feels.
He's an evil bastard.
And she was very scared. She made an escape from there. I have a lot of admiration for her. Russia, Venezuela, and China, and the Monroe Doctrine from Simancas in Brazil. I wish they would know what the Monroe Doctrine is in the United States. And they just don't, which makes this cartoon unprintable here. But I think it's great.
He loves how he draws Putin and Trump because their faces are very comical and very funny.
Here is Aaron Van Dam, also from the Netherlands. We have lots of cartoonists in the Netherlands. And Maduro riding his grim horse.
It's a very strong image, and it symbolizes how they are destroying Venezuela.
Here's another one from Rayma, the Venezuelan artist in Florida.
Happy Halloween.
Yes, a good Halloween topic.
She makes the Maduro face excellent for scaring people.
And here's another one from you, Arcadio. he just can't get out of it, that he's going to get blown up.
Can people comprehend this caricature? Because he was not sure if people were able to understand why there were so many locks in the image. So he has that doubt.
I hate to say it this way. You've put a label on Maduro, which, again, I would prefer to have been hand-lettered. But for an American audience, you would have to put Venezuelan President Maduro, because they won't know from his name who he is.
Arcadio, I'm curious. I would imagine that Maduro doesn't have many supporters in Costa Rica or pretty much anywhere else in Latin America. But what concerns Costa Ricans more, Maduro and what he's done to Venezuela, or Trump's policy of regime change and, of course, blowing up the... Which is worse in terms of for Costa Ricans?
Well, in Costa Rica, a lot of people keep admiring Maduro, and he gets criticized a lot because he is criticizing Maduro. So it's very strange.
In other words, they're Costa Ricans who, whatever they feel about Maduro's policies, they like him standing up to the United States.
So this is from Dave Granlin, and he's got Trump saying, "I authorize covert CIA operations in Venezuela. Covert means secret, so don't tell anyone."
It's a great Trump.
It has a very distinctive style to draw Trump, because he feels that it's very different from how he would draw it, how you would draw it. It's very distinct.
Here's another one from Simonka. It's just it's a charming cartoon. I love the way he draws the water.
It's like getting further and further apart due to its policies.
I think if I was drawing this one, I would have put Uncle Sam in the upper left standing on the USA looking down at Venezuela in that position, because I don't quite understand why he's standing in the middle of South America.
He's visiting. Visiting.
Yeah, he's just visiting. Now, here's another nice Simonka one with all the Venezuelan people fleeing to Brazil. And it is so true that just so much of the population has fled Venezuela. There's just no food. There's no jobs. The whole place has failed. And attacking Venezuela isn't really attacking Venezuela anymore. They're all living somewhere else.
Graphically, that's a very fine cartoon.
Aren't the buildings wonderful?
Yep.
Yeah, it has a lot of details. And he can also see... Come on. Yeah, and he can also see how he wrote his handwriting.
Mm-hmm. Karen, the houses remind me of the casitas that people in Latin America put up at Christmas time. Ah, yes, I'm in Brazil, right? That's true, the slums, yeah.
This one is by Dario Castellejos from Oaxaca, and that's very nice.
Excellent.
He's a very good friend of mine. I met him in Mexico in 2008. Do you remember him, Darren?
Oh, yes, yes. He was also there on our trip to Mexico City.
He's a very good cartoonist, a very good man.
He's very good. Here you go again, Arcadio. Love that one.
Well, he's running out of foil. He's running out of it, so he will not be able to do that anymore.
Yeah.
Here's another one from Dario. I think this is very nice.
Yeah. Wow.
You can see the cartoons are getting a little bit older as we get it further into the slideshow, because I put the latest ones first. Here's a recent one. Here's Trump ready to attack Venezuela again by Dario. And it's nice.
Well, he thinks that Mexicans have a particular style of drawing political stuff, and it's very powerful. They're very powerful at drawing it, especially Dario.
This is a cartoon that could be animated very well with AI, just by making Trump's body language and his arms swinging with the missile in it, and maintaining all of the nice cross-hatching and keeping it looking like it was all drawn by Dario. This is the kind of cartoon that I would recommend that he animate. Here's one from you, Arcadio. This is also one that would be easy to animate with AI. AI would make the growling voice, probably as a Trump-sounding growling voice, and it would swing the missile back and forth. Pretty good, easy, reliable one to do with AI.
Daryl, I believe you mentioned that having a Trump growling voice, and maybe that's easy to find. But I have to say...
You just give it a prompt to tell Trump's voice.
But I think it's going to be important, seriously, if the more you pursue this, that we're going to have a better range of voices. Because, for instance, the Pam Bondi cartoon that you animated mine, the voice is nothing like Pam Bondi's.
I thought Pam Bondi has a pretty generic voice.
I wouldn't say that at all. And I wasn't pretty close. I'm just saying that I think that for anybody trying this, that's a problem. I think it's good. There's a solution, but it's a problem.
Well, I don't know the solution yet.
He also wonders what sound can be added instead as well as a voice, because that would be the interesting part. Because yes, he is all pro about being animated, but what his worries are, what sounds are they going to find for that caricature?
Well, if you're animating your own cartoons, you pick what results you want and you don't have to worry about it. You just don't choose anything you don't like.
Well, one of the things that I think a number of cartoonists, I've allowed Darrow to try experimenting with a few of my pieces. But one of the things that anybody who's done this, what you realize, especially if you watch the animation being created by Grok or some other AI tool, you realize that after a few seconds, it's no longer your cartoon. It's something in between being your cartoon and a totally AI creation. It's a little bit unsettling. You get used to it, I guess. But that's something that I've heard a number of cartoonists object to, that which is no longer my cartoon.
I felt just the opposite, Taylor. I thought it did quite a nice job of staying true to my drawing. I felt like from start
to finish. Yes.
Yes, I thought so. And the ones that we finished with yours, that it also stayed true. It may not have stayed true to what your vision would be, but I thought it looked like it was drawn by you.
What I'm saying is that, thank you. I appreciate that. It's just that I think it's important. I think it's going to take a while for a cartoonist to come around to that. I suppose it's no different than when, say, a comic book has been turned into a movie. I don't mean like a Marvel movie, but say an animated feature. I guess the difference there is maybe the comic book artist gets a lot of money.
About 20 years ago, maybe 25 years ago, there was a company that was started with the whole purpose of animating New Yorker cartoons. I'm forgetting the name of it right now, but it failed because it turned out there was no market for it. But I don't think that their animations were any better than what we're getting from AI now. They tried to stay true to the way the cartoonist's hand-drawn thing looked, but I don't think that they were any more true as animators interpreting it than the AI interpreting it on what we're getting now.
Darrow, the New Yorker, talk about cartoons that are meant to be read by the readership. I don't know that would ever go well.
It's possible. It's just because New Yorker cartoons are not funny that it didn't succeed.
Do you think it's a possible suggestion that caricatures are now animated?
If we get more of a market on the web, I think that there's more of a demand for it. We're working hard now on trying to get our cartoons into aggregation apps. It's clear that the publications on the web aren't going to pay for it, but maybe the aggregation apps will. And if they do, we've got to analyze how much money is each cartoon going to make on this app. If it makes $25 and it takes me an hour to create the animation, I can't afford to spend my time doing it. If it makes $50, closer. If it's going to make $200, yeah, we should do that. We've got to see what it turns out to be. But again, it's a supply and demand issue. And there's a lot of cartoonists that draw a lot of traditional cartoons that don't make $25 and it wasn't worth them drawing the cartoon.
I know that feels.
Yes.
Maybe more than anyone.
We have a problem with the whole syndication model, which is that about a dozen cartoonists have cartoons that newspapers want, and then all the rest of the 75 cartoonists they don't want.
Darrow, there's what I used to call a book publisher I dealt with for many years. I know I've mentioned this before, and that is the Barnes & Noble, I don't know if they're around anymore, the Barnes & Noble theory, that 10% of the books, the blockbusters, are selling, but it's all the other books that are bringing the customers into the bookstore. And then I'll bet you there's a lot of cartoons that newspaper editors are enjoying immensely, but not publishing. Sometimes they're probably laughing hysterically at all the blood and gore that some of our cartoonists do, but they don't dare publish them.
And I have that in mind with what we do, because we have a lot of cartoons and cartoonists there, even though most of them don't get published much, if at all.
Yeah.
And I think that if we didn't have those there, it wouldn't look like much of a store. And just the fact that it looks like there's a lot of product there is attractive. That's how I feel about the grocery store. The 95% of the grocery store is stuff I'm not interested in.
Fine.
But I like that there's all there. Go ahead, Arcadio.
Guys, how long would it take you to create an animated cartoon for Darrow and for Taylor?
A good one? I don't know. A long time.
It's hard to predict.
A Grok one, not very long.
We sat down and we created two or three that I thought were pretty good, just over a Google Meet, Taylor.
We did. I agree. You can talk to Darrow about this because he's the technical expert. I am not.
We can try some. Try some, Arcadia. We'll set up a time for a Google Meet. And Karen. Right. I think we need Karen.
Just if you were to just try the Grok AI tool, first of all, whether you like it or not, you'll be scary. You'll be almost scared at how efficient it is at animating.
Yeah, we made ours in Grok Imagine. all of the big AI companies have something similar. Gemini has Nano Banana, which I think is probably the most popular one now, but they all have an equivalent. I've tried them all. At this point, I think Grok is best for the particular thing that we do, which is not creating things entirely, but making our existing drawings come alive and look like we drew them all the way through. For only 6 seconds. This one is from Boligan, which I thought was very nice and appropriate now, unless you look very closely and see that he had in mind that that was Obama there on the right boxing with Maduro. Actually, that may be Hugo Chavez, if it's Obama there. Well, maybe that one was too old, but I thought it was very nice.
He says he has a lot to learn from you because he thinks you both are great artists and great drawers. And he also thinks that Anne and Dario are brilliant artist. He thinks he has a lot to learn from you.
That's like our dad.
True, true. Very true.
We love you too, Arcadio. He's a nice one.
What do you think?
We don't need to translate. It's just very clear and very nice. He's about to fall through. Very good. Here's another one from Aaron Van Dam in the Netherlands. Also a timeless cartoon until Maduro is gone.
And again, he was a bus driver. That's how he started out.
This is kind of the same cartoon, except with a boat. And here's another one from Rayma with Maduro running off with all the money as Chavez's statue is on the ground. Very nice. This one is from Stéphane Perré, French cartoonist who lives in Thailand. And I thought it was fun. Stéphane draws really fast and a lot of his cartoons are just crazy. And I like that. And here's one from Randy Enos, who is just had a stellar career for many decades, kind of one of the founding members of the National Lampoon and many times Playboy cartoonist. And he often draws with a knife cutting into linoleum. That's what this is. It's a linoleum print drawn backwards, does the lettering backwards. Think of how much nicer this is with him cutting the lettering backwards into linoleum rather than using a computer font.
Well, Da Vinci wrote backwards in his notebooks.
He's saying that he's definitely going to do it hand now instead of using the computer because he really loved the recommendation you gave him about not using the font, but using his handwriting because he sees that it's a brilliant work right here, right now.
Very good.
He looks natural.
Here's a nice one from Bill Day. He also has very nice lettering. And another one from View Arcadio.
How many cartoons of Venezuela I did?
You do a whole lot of Venezuela.
This is a very old cartoon. Remember, I drew it in 2008.
This is also a good cartoon for today.
Yes.
You would take out the opposition card because they're laughing about dialogue with Trump instead of the opposition.
Another one.
He was a bus driver before, so now by driving the country, well, he has crushed it. So the only thing that is left is a steering wheel.
And very good with the hand lettering. Well, Taylor, I have here extra Maduro cartoons, and this is just a beautiful cartoon, and I'm glad we didn't miss it.
I like the expression of Maduro, his face, very convincing.
Yes, there's that look of superiority and not caring about anybody else.
Right, well, he likes sweaters and big shirts.
Very beautiful cartoon.
Thank you.
Taylor, read this one for us.
Oh, yes. His life was a tribute to the Venezuelans and to Bolivar. His death, an imperialist plot.
Un Dios en Venezuela.
Bolivar, of course, was Simón Bolívar, the founder of Venezuela, and that's Hugo Chavez in the painting there. It was right after his death.
Very nice.
There's another, okay. This one needs no translation.
Oh, sure it does. Yankee diplomats, go home.
Right, there we go.
No, and again, the tricycle.
Because, you know, it's kind of an image in cartooning that, you know, clownish politicians and tricycles go together.
And he was a bus driver, so he should have some kind of thing.
I've done bus drivers, but that was an out-of-date one.
I think it's very nice.
Well, he just wanted to say thank you, and it has been a pleasure because he considers you to be a great artist. So he's very glad that he was able to share this space with you and to say hello to all your viewers and to your audience.
Thank you, Arcadio.
First, I think we all owe a debt of gratitude to Karen for an incredible job. You could be working at the UN.
No, not yet. Thank you.
And thank you for coming. Stream this episode on cablecast.com and come in next time. And the more you come in, the more likely we are to do this more often. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Nos vemos.